8:46 4CA.
31 minutes past 10 here on 8:46 4CA. Gavin King with you for about another hour and a half. Thanks for being with us here on 4CA. Well, it seems strange to be talking about this next topic because I would have thought it had been in place for years and years, but it turns out that the Queensland government is only just now about to ban the sale of knives and replica firearms to children in a bid to tackle the state's escalating youth crime crisis. To chat more about this, we're very pleased to have a chat to my next guest. He's always full of common sense and insight. Dr. Terry Goldsworthy is his name. He's Associate Professor in Criminology at Bond University. Dr. Goldsworthy, welcome to the talk show. Talk to us. I mean, are you surprised that this ban, this legislation's only just coming in? I would have thought knife crime had been an issue for a long, long time.
Yeah, good morning, Gavin. Yeah, look, it is surprising. I mean, and you're right, knife crime has been problematic in Queensland for some time. I mean, we know in between 2021 and 2022, there were 3,200 offences
Wow.
that involved someone being in possession of a knife in a public place or a school. Over the same time period, we had 11 people who died following being stabbed with a knife. So, you know, and if you look at the national data for 2020-21, the latest data that we have, you know, knives account for something like 40% of all homicides in Australia.
Mm.
So it's problematic, and it is surprising that
it's taken so long to
get to this point. Yeah, I mean, it is.
My goodness. We shouldn't laugh, that's for sure. Look, tell us, criminals will always find what they need to commit crimes. Is this really going to have an impact, do you think?
Well, I think it's a positive move by the government to try and restrict the access to these type of weapons to particularly young people. But, I mean, as we know, like any house has any number of knives, so they're more than capable of killing someone. So, you know, if someone's motivated, they may not be able to get the butterfly knife or the combat knife anymore from a disposal store, but they can certainly get a carving knife out of the kitchen drawer. So it does come down to you can legislate to stop and restrict the supply, but, you know, you still need to have some of the basic stuff, like parents saying to their son if they're going out, why are you taking a carving knife out with you when you go out with your mates?
Like, that's right.
If they know. I mean, why do children feel the need that they have to have a knife for protection? Why are they going? What are they going out to do?
Exactly. Now, Terry, I won't ask you to comment on this specific case that I spoke to police about this morning, but it is indicative of what's going on, and not just in Cairns, of course, right across Queensland now, which at the very least, the fact that youth crime now has spread and is prominent right across the state means that politicians at all sides and stripes are finally taking notice. But I just wanted to run this by you just to see whether this is the type of thing that you're hearing as well. So officers from the Cairns Tactical Crime Squad, they've taken three youths aged 14 and 15 into custody after a nearly two-day running amok for about 2 days across Cairns. The charges, Terry, are too long, too many to read out to you now, but they had allegedly stolen a car, and then they allegedly stole fuel to refuel that vehicle. They've then allegedly stolen a handbag from a pregnant woman on Grafton Street, which is a prominent main street in our CBD, at 3:55 p.m. yesterday. Brazen act. I mean, 14 and 15, of course, they go to the children's court, so we don't know what happens to them. But, I mean, is this the type of thing you're hearing is happening across the state?
Yeah, it is, Gavin. It's not just across the state. I mean, we're certainly very problematic up here, but we looked at the data last week and published an article where we looked at across the nation. And we're seeing, you know, massive increases in youth crime incidents in Victoria, 24% increase there, increases in New South Wales, et cetera.
Okay.
So it's problematic right across the country. And I guess what you have next to that is some other actions the governments are taking, like the ACT in Northern Territory, where they're now raising the age of criminal responsibility to the age of 12.
Yes.
In the Northern Territory, they've done that, and they've expunged all the convictions of those youth offenders into that regime. So you could have a 12-year-old or 13-year-old who appears for an unlawful use or stolen vehicle now. They might have 30 previous occasions of stolen cars, and you'll never know about it because it's all been wiped clean.
Oh, dear, exactly. Now, let me talk to you now. Being old, I stress the word old journo, newspaper journo that I am, one of my bugbears was always we could report what police tell us about charges when they've laid charges against a juvenile offender. So, you know, stolen cars, whatever it is, we can tell you what suburb they're from, their ages, of course. But then there is a complete black hole of information once they get to the children's court, and it was so frustrating. And I had applied to, you know, to the Justice Department, to the courts, to try and cover a children court matter where we vowed that we would not identify the offenders. You know, we weren't going to name them. We weren't going to do anything that would identify them. We just wanted to report on what was the sentence? What were the consequences, if there were any consequences? And yet still here we are, like in that example I just gave to you, they're going to the children's court. We will never know. We will never know what a punishment, if any, that that was doled out to them. I mean, is that something in your view, with a stroke of a pen, a government's could change, so long as media do not identify that young offender? Is that something that could and should happen, do you think, where media can report on the outcomes of the children's court?
Oh, of course it is. It's something that could be changed, as you said, very quickly by the government legislating it to ensure that there's openness and transparency in our court systems. I mean, you can do that clearly without identifying the youth involved, and people can see how the courts operate and, as you said, what the outcomes are. I mean, I think the community is entitled to see that.
And the fact that, as I said, I can read out all of these details about their ages and where they're from and their gender and all of the offences, but that's it. It stops there. It's just bizarre that police can release that type of information. Thankfully, they can release information when they charge a young offender, but you can't do the same basic information once they hit the children's court. So hopefully with a change of, with the election coming up and a potential change of government in under 12 months' time, perhaps that's something that the opposition might look at, that's for sure. Dr. Terry Goldsworthy, great update as always. Thanks for your time on the talk show this morning.
Thanks, Gavin.
That's Dr. Terry Goldsworthy. He's Associate Professor in Criminology at Bond University.